part of worship. That's what we're here for. The whole experience of this morning is to worship our God. Now, we've been walking through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings, and we were in the fifth chapter, and I introduced this to you last week and said there are, in this fifth chapter, there are four encounters that Jesus has in this process. And last week was the encounter, which was really the second calling of Peter, where he said, now you're going to be fishers of men. And I wonder this week how many have been fishing. How many of you walked out of here last Sunday morning and said, help me fish, Lord, for you? Not, Lord, help me find the right fishing hole. Because God can bring fish wherever He sends you. But God, help me to be fisher of men. Next week we'll talk about the paralytic, the palsy, the one who is paralyzed, the one who feels helpless and hopeless. The following week we will talk about Levi, the tax collector that everybody used against Jesus. Well, he ate with sinners. Well, I eat with sinners every week because we're all sinners and have come short of the glory of God. Today we're going to talk about the leper, leprosy. The one who has been diseased and rejected. There are a lot of rejections that we experience in life. People reject us, we reject others. And so we're going to look at this passage and hopefully see a different perspective on those that we may have rejected even in our own life. So if you have your Bible, let me kind of talk through in chapter 5, beginning at verse number 12. Now it says this, while Jesus was in one of the towns, Luke recorded many of the messages, many of the miracles that happened in many of the towns and villages that Jesus traveled to, mostly by foot. And so this is just another one of those series of events where Jesus is speaking and teaching. And it says, while Jesus was in one of those towns, there was a man who came along who was covered with leprosy. Now, in and of itself, this is a strange event, as I will share with you in a moment about leprosy. But just keep that thought in mind. And it says that when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and he begged him. And he cried out, Lord, Lord, if you're willing, and boy, I hope you are, you can make me clean. There are people all around us that we need to be fishing for, that we need to be prepared for, that are crying out in their silence, if someone could just reach me with the truth that I might be healed from whatever's going on in my life rather than being rejected like so many others. Jesus said in verse 13, well, it says about Jesus, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. He touched him. And he said, I am willing. And then he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately it was gone. So Jesus ordered him, said to him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them that it's happened. What we do here is an offering of sacrifice to give testimony to all around what God has done in our life. That's what Jesus told him. That's the follow-up after we receive Christ as our Savior. Verse 15. Then the news about him spread all the more. Is already spreading like wildfire, but it did even more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Now, there is so much right here that I could talk about. There's probably 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 more sermons that a good preacher could preach from. I might be able to preach from 2 or 3 more. This whole idea that Jesus touched him is part of what we will talk about today in the rejection idea. Crowds gathering. Crowds gather when the Holy Spirit's at work and God gets the glory. The news that it's spreading like wildfire. He couldn't go anywhere and somebody would say, that's Jesus, and the crowds would begin to grow. Or even the thought that Jesus needed to rest. You'd think God doesn't need to rest. He can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, yeah, he does. But when he came to earth and he subjected himself to the limitations of a human body, he needed rest. He needed time alone. So here's today where we're going to focus. We're going to focus on this man who had leprosy. This man represents to us those who have been rejected. Now see the rest of this sentence. For no fault of their own. How many people have we rejected in our life? And they have no clue they've been rejected. Until a moment arrives and you just slap them with that rejection. Is that fair? Well, the Bible, I'm not going to go in that direction, but the Bible makes it very clear that if I'm in the spirit of rejection toward you, I need to go to you about it. That is what God said to do. And when I don't, I'm out of the will of God. I don't have that right. When was the last time you rejected somebody for no fault of their own? When was the last time you were rejected for no fault of your own? Rejection is one of the swords and tools of Satan that Satan uses to destroy lives, to tear up our hearts, to mislead us, and cause havoc in the church, in our families, in our home, and everywhere. Satan loves to use this tool of rejection. But I want you to see how Jesus responded to a man that many rejected. Leprosy was a killer disease in the days of Jesus. It was a very slow killer. You could live for years being rejected by the entire community as your body literally ate itself up inside and out. There were times that when the leprosy would affect the nerve endings at the end of your fingers and your toes, on your nose, your ears, and you would lose all feeling, and then because of that, you would damage them, and to the point that sometimes parts of your body would fall off. Because you couldn't feel it. But the body was dying from within. They thought it was contagious. They thought if I touch someone with leprosy, then I'm going to get leprosy and then I'm going to be banished and I'm going to be thrown outside the city walls and nobody's going to have anything to do. I'll be rejected. And so leprosy was the kiss of death as far as they were concerned. And because of all the multitude of all that working together, eventually a leper would die far sooner than they were supposed to. It was a hopeless existence. And they knew rejection better than most people could ever even dream it up. If for some reason they encountered other people, they were supposed to, by law, cry out, unclean! Unclean! But nobody would go to them and take them and punish them because they were afraid to touch them. So even the Roman soldiers would use their spears to herd them out the gate. Wouldn't touch them themselves. There's no way that a person with leprosy could be taken and nailed to a cross because somebody would have to touch them. And they felt that that would kill them. They just feared it. They feared it with everything. Leprosy still exists today, but we know through medicine how to fight with antibiotics and other things. But because of all these reasons, and probably many more, those who contracted leprosy in the day of Jesus were rejected. They were simply rejected. Outcast. So I ask you again, who have you rejected for no fault of their own? Who has rejected you for no fault of your own? Rejection leads to all kinds of problems and difficulties. Rejection will destabilize our need for family and community. It'll work with their mind. It's a psychological pain. Our mind is hardwired. And it's all connected. And so eventually, if you feel that rejection long enough, really bad things happen in your life. I learned about a friend of mine who lost his job. And what do we do when our friends lose their job? We reject them. I called my friend up and I said, I heard you lost your job and I'm so sorry. And I'm just calling to tell you that I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? Can we get together sometime? And the individual said to me, thank you for calling. Maybe we could get a cup of coffee one day and I can tell you all about it. And then for the next hour and 2 minutes, and the reason I know that is if you have a cell phone and you stop a call, you can look and see how long you talked. For the next hour and 2 minutes, he told me all about it. He just told me all the pain and all the suffering and all the hurt, all the feelings of rejection that he had experienced. And when we hear those kinds of things about somebody else, how do we react? What if it were us? What if we were the ones who lost our job or had a debilitating disease or an accident or if something happened? How would we respond to them? A lot of times we automatically think the worst. Well, he had to do something bad. I had an accident. Well, he must have turned in the wrong direction. You know, something goes wrong. Satan uses the tool of rejection to destroy us. And so he uses us to kind of accentuate that tool of rejection. We need to be very careful with this in our lives. I want to remind you there's always 20 sides to a two-sided story. And so I tend to say to people, I really don't care what happened. I care about you. Now, if you need to tell me, you tell me, and I'll hear stories and carry that to my grave. But we need to show them our support, our love, our care, not our criticism, not our attitudes, not our politics. We need to show them prayer in our lives. Near the end of that conversation, here's where he just brought me to my knees. He said, you know, it's been nearly a month since I lost my job. And not one person from work has called to see how I am. Rejection. Unclean. Outcast. He must be bad. That's what this leper felt that day as he arrives on the scene seeking Jesus. So I want to this is a two-point sermon. Number one, here's what the leper did. Here's what the leper did. In the midst of all that's going on in his life, he heard that there was a man who could cure his sickness. Who have you told about the man who can cure people's sicknesses? We know a man who can do that. We know the one who created us in his image and made us and is willing to show us his grace and his mercy. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Peace that passeth understanding. Isaiah wrote that he gives me strength when I'm weary and he increases my power when I am weak. We know the man. He heard about the man. If we're going to be fishers of men, we need to be ready to tell them about the one we're fishing for. And tell them about the love of the man who can heal them, who can bring them back, who can restore them. Secondly, he found that man at the risk of being killed by the crowd. He came from outside the city walls where all the lepers were driven, into that town, because it said, in another town, that this leper shows up with the crowds that are gathering and he's looking for the man who he's heard about. I'm telling you this, if your week is a week of moaning and groaning and griping and complaining, people are not going to want to be here with you or me or anybody else, because that's not the man who cures people's soul. If we're telling them about Jesus, if we're showing that in our lives, if we're giving the cup of cold water in Jesus' name, if we're handing out our hand in friendship, if we're lifting up the downtrodden, if we're helping those who are being rejected, people will see that. And they will want to be a part of that. And they will come. He found that man at the risk of his life. And then the scripture says, he saw Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people out there who say, it's God thing. I don't believe in that so much. But when they see him through our lives, when they're allowed to come through the crowd and they're not rejected any longer, they can see Jesus for the very first time. And what did he do next? When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground. He fell on his face in a spirit of worship and recognizing the holiness of God in his life. He fell on his face to the ground, and then he begged Jesus. He begged him, Lord, I've already heard the stories. I already know the truth. I've rejected you for a long time. But today, if you will, Lord, if you will, and I wish you will, do it. You can make me clean. I can go home again. I can see my family. I can hug my children. I can go back to work. I can worship the Lord in church. I can be around where I need to be. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That is the cry of every person's heart in this room, in any other church, in any other place in this world. We need to know that we are accepted like that, if you will. That was his cry. He didn't know any better than that, but to cry out like that. But here is what Jesus did. Point number two. Well, let's sit down, young man, and talk about your theological and political agenda. Why are you here? No, that's not what he does. Look at the scripture. What did he do? Jesus did what the world wouldn't do. The world has rejected this man, has said he's no good, he's unclean, he's unfit, he's an outcast, and we want nothing to do with him. And the Bible says Jesus touched him. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Because something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Now I know that song was written a few years ago and that man didn't know anything about it, but I know in his spirit when Jesus touched him, he felt the power of change take over his life. We have been touched by the greatest one. Let me tell you what the word touched means. We got the idea that Jesus touched him. You're healed. That's the idea because he's a leper and I need to keep my distance and just touch him. That's the idea that we have there. But if you read the Greek and study it, the word means Jesus grabbed hold of him like a brother and he touched him and hugged him and loved him. And the power of God filled him. When was the last time you think he ever felt a touch? We have no idea how long that man was a leper. We have no idea how long he had been rejected, but there he was. Jesus took hold of him. He didn't just touch him. He took hold of him. And folks, when you're touched, when I'm touched by the presence of God, he didn't just touch us. He takes hold of us. And when God takes hold of us, everything changes. My goodness, glory falls down in our lives. And we then become that fisher of men and women and boys and girls and children that we become the kind of people want to know more about. We've gotten away from it. Third thing he did was he looked at this man who just said, Lord, if you're willing, I'm not sure you are. I'm not sure you will. I'm not worthy of it. Remember, rejection causes all kinds of sorrow. He is worthy. He's worthy of God because God says it, but he doesn't feel it. What does Jesus say? I'm willing. I'm willing. And He's willing today to forgive us of our sin. He's willing today to bring us back in and no longer be rejected. He's willing today to take hold of our lives and do in us all the things that He wants to do. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he will sup with me." Let me tell you four things real quick that He does always, every day of our lives and in anybody else's life. He's always standing there waiting on us. He knows us. He knows where we live. He knows what we do. He knows the mistakes we make, and He loves us anyway. He stands at the door of our life and our heart waiting for us. He seeks, secondly, our attention by knocking on the door sometimes. Sometimes things happen that's a knock on the door. It's a wake-up call. It's a doorbell. It's a ring that says, "Wait a minute, I've been walking in the wrong way, in the wrong direction." And sometimes He has to take hold of us and shake us a little bit. Then He's willing to come. He's willing to come in, and then I love that part. Sup with me, and He with me, and me with Him. I can't wait to the great banquet table. It's going to be great. It's going to make that smorgasbord that we were on the bus up there in Pennsylvania, that's going to be a snack. The banquet table, and Jesus is going to be there. I'm not hoping. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said, "Be clean." He just says, "Be clean. Be clean. Be clean. Be saved. Be healed. Be forgiven. Receive the Holy Spirit." He tells us all those things every day of our lives. He removes the rejection and He restores the life. And then He says, well, it says, the leprosy left. Whatever you're feeling, whatever has disturbed you, whatever the hurt is, when Jesus takes hold of you, everything changes for the better. In Luke chapter 11, later we'll read this in a few weeks or months. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That is Jesus' promise. Amen. Has He touched you? He's willing. We can be clean again. And whatever's held us back can go away. During Jesus' life, He was rejected by a lot of people. His own brothers, half-brothers and sisters rejected Him. Religious leaders really rejected Him. One of His 12 sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. And in the end, all the disciples but John ran, and only John was at the cross with Mary. And Peter, the tough guy, denied Him 3 times that night. Even Jesus said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But I've got good news. It didn't end there. That's not the climax of the story. The gospel stands as the unfaltering, unchangeable answer to any and all rejection that has ever come into our lives. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. All of everybody else. And the wages of sin is death, which is separation from God for eternity. But the gift of God that we don't earn, that we don't deserve, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I don't care if your rejection is physical or mental or social, or if it's family or friends or whatever you make of it. I don't care. And it may not even be your fault. God still reigns in our lives. And He stands there knocking at that door, asking us to open it. You know what the opposite of rejection is? Redemption. When he was no longer rejected, he was redeemed back into the church. He was redeemed back into his family. He was redeemed back into the community. He was redeemed back into life. Everything. Can you imagine standing there when this man covered with leprosy and everybody backing up going, "Oh, get away." And he's supposed to be saying unclean. And Jesus just grabs hold of him and says, "I am willing, be clean." Can you imagine the look on people's faces when his body was healed instantly? Everybody standing there should have known it was God. Now remember this. Last week, the verses just before this, Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to be fishers of men." Now, do you think Peter really understood what he was saying at that point? So the next thing that Luke records is one of the ways that Jesus was fishing for men. He went directly to and accepted into himself the most rejected person of the community. Hey, Peter, hope you're watching. Wake up, Peter. Watch this. Boom. Glory of God. Romans 8:15 says we have the spirit of adoption. We become a child of God. Later on it says nothing can separate us from that kind of love. Nothing. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Christ might be saved." Maybe you feel like a modern day leper today. God can heal you. Maybe we've made some people lepers. God needs to heal our heart so that we're no longer afraid, but ready to touch. I've been guilty of that. We need God's Spirit in us so that in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and with the presence of His Holy Spirit today, we might be fishers of men. Let's pray. Lord, rain Your Spirit down on us today. Strike our sinful hearts so that we repent. We're hard on people. We're mean at times. And we reject too quickly. And we forget. We didn't deserve Your grace either. So You called Peter and James and John and Andrew and all these guys, just like You call us to be fishers of men. And here today, You gave us a perfect example. We may have rejected or we may have been rejected for no fault of our own or theirs. Forgive us and heal us. And when You grab hold of us, may we let loose of ourselves and let You go and reign in our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. He saw Jesus. He turned his eyes to Jesus. Great hymn. As we stand, as we sing it, I don't know what God said to you. Here's what He said to me. Take all your fundamentalist political agendas and get rid of them. And start seeing people like Jesus sees them. Let's stand. Let's sing. you imagine that leper with his face to the ground crying out, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus touched him and he looked up into the face of Jesus. Folks, we've got to take that message out these doors for others to have that same cleansing relationship. What if next week the worst leper you can imagine walked in these doors? Would we reject them for their past? Or would we seek for God to redeem them for their future? His wonderful face. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. This is what it's about. Your Spirit speaking to our hearts from God's Word to send us out these doors and be fishers of men. Forgive us for rejecting so many, so much, so often. And now, Lord, use us to bring hope and help in the times of need to those who need Jesus. In Christ's name we pray.